You think you'd know if someone was trying to destroy your family. You think you'd see the signs, the too sweet smile, the too long hugs, the subtle wedge driven between husband and wife. But the truth is, the most dangerous kind of betrayal wears a warm face and comes through the front door with a backpack and glowing references. When Daniel and Melissa hired a babysitter, they were looking for help. What they got was a plant, sent by Daniel's vengeful ex, who wanted to watch everything he'd built burn. The babysitter was young, beautiful, and calculated. She didn't come for the kids. She came for the kill. And her plan was simple. Seduce, manipulate, dismantle, and leave them all bleeding. This isn't just a story about a woman scorned. It's about how far obsession can go when dressed in innocence, and how a family can be broken, one whispered lie and forbidden kiss at a time. So if you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favorite platform and leave us a comment, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. Chapter 1. The Perfect Stranger. Melissa Grant always trusted her instincts, until they led her straight to disaster. The Grants lived in an upscale neighborhood in Brookvale, with a tidy brick house, two kids under 7, and a marriage that had started to fray beneath the daily grind of bills, soccer practice, and quiet resentments. Melissa was a part-time interior designer. Daniel, her husband, was in finance, smart, ambitious, but distant. Too many late nights, too many unanswered questions. So when the pressure got too much, Melissa suggested hiring a sitter, someone to give her back a few hours of peace, someone to help manage the chaos. Enter Lila Monroe. She came with flawless references, smiling, sweet-voiced, college student studying child psychology, wore cardigans and always smelled like vanilla. The kids loved her from day one. She read bedtime stories and character voices, packed snacks with little notes, braided their daughter's hair before school. And she was stunning. Not just pretty, stunning. Tall, athletic, porcelain skin, ocean blue eyes that lingered just a little too long. But Melissa pushed that aside. She was tired. She needed help. And Lila seemed perfect until the whisper started. It began innocently enough, little shifts in behavior. Daniel, who usually avoided home when Melissa's tension flared, started coming home earlier. He'd smile at Lila in that vague, polite way. Nothing inappropriate, not yet. But Melissa saw the change. Then came the subtle comments. "She's so good with the kids," Daniel said one night, his tone lighter than usual. "You know, it's nice to have some calm around here." Calm, as if Melissa was chaos. And Lila, God, Lila, started dressing differently. Jeans turned into yoga pants. Hoodies became low-cut blouses. One day, Melissa caught her wearing Daniel's college sweatshirt, his actual sweatshirt. And when asked, Lila just laughed and said the kids had spilled juice on hers. But it wasn't just clothes. It was the glances. The moments when Melissa would walk into a room and feel the tension hanging thick between her husband and the sitter. The way Lila would stand just a little too close, bend just a little too far. Still, Melissa said nothing. She didn't want to be the paranoid wife. She was stronger than that. Smarter, wasn't she? The kids were thriving. Her work was improving. On the surface, everything was better. But Melissa could feel it in her bones. Something was wrong. It all cracked one Wednesday afternoon. Melissa had forgotten her phone at home during a meeting and returned to retrieve it. The house was quiet. She assumed Lila had taken the kids to the park. But as she entered through the back door, she heard it, laughter, from the living room. She crept closer. Lila was sitting on the couch, legs curled beneath her. Daniel sat beside her, grinning in a way Melissa hadn't seen in months. She couldn't hear the conversation, but Lila reached out and touched his hand. Not a graze. A touch. Melissa stepped in. Am I interrupting something? The room snapped to attention. Daniel jumped up, guilt painting his face. Lila smiled, too calmly, and said, "We were just talking about the kids. I was telling him about a funny thing your son said this morning." Melissa said nothing. Just stared. That night, she told Daniel it had to stop. She's the babysitter, not your friend. And if you can't see how inappropriate this is, maybe we should reconsider the arrangement. Daniel was defensive. "You're being dramatic. You wanted help. I've barely spoken to her." Melissa didn't sleep that night. What Melissa didn't know was that Lila had been sent. This wasn't some accidental affair. Lila wasn't just a pretty opportunist. She had a mission. 3 months earlier, Daniel's ex-girlfriend, Veronica Slate, had reached out to her. Veronica was beautiful, dangerous, and quietly obsessed. She dated Daniel for 2 years in college, and he'd ended it without warning. Left her broken and humiliated after she'd caught him messaging Melissa on Facebook. Veronica never let go. She followed his marriage from afar, saw his job promotions, the house, the kids. She watched it all. And then she found Lila, her cousin's best friend, attractive, clever, and in need of fast cash. When Veronica offered her $10,000 to break the man who broke me, Lila didn't even blink. "Make her doubt herself," Veronica had said. "Make him want you. Make them implode." Lila was surgical. She studied Daniel, listened, learned his triggers. She knew when to speak and when to stay quiet, when to feign vulnerability and when to project confidence. She never made a move too soon. She wanted Daniel to think it was all his idea, and it was working. 2 weeks after the couch incident, Melissa had to go out of town for a funeral. Just one night. Daniel promised he'd manage. And Lila? She stayed late. After the kids were asleep, she poured Daniel a drink. They talked about stress, about life, about what it meant to feel invisible. And when she leaned in and whispered, "You deserve to be seen," Daniel didn't pull away. That night, they kissed. He stopped before it went further, but the seed had been planted. The guilt didn't hit until the next morning. And still, he didn't fire her. Melissa sensed it before she knew it. When she returned, Daniel was distant, edgy, couldn't meet her eyes. And Lila, smug, poised, like a lioness waiting for her kill? Melissa started digging. She called Lila's references. One was disconnected. The other, an older woman named Marla, said she'd never heard of a Lila Monroe. Melissa's stomach turned. She ran a background check. There was no trace of Lila Monroe enrolled in any local university. No public records. Nothing. She confronted her husband, Daniel. Denied everything. Said Melissa was being paranoid again. So she made a decision. The next time Lila came over, Melissa stayed home. And what she discovered changed everything. Chapter 2. Dirty Secrets and Beautiful Lies. Melissa didn't hide this time. She stayed upstairs, ear pressed to the vent. She heard the voices. Lila was laughing, her voice low, sultry. Daniel was protesting. "I told you, we shouldn't talk like this, not here." "Oh, please," Lila cooed. "Your wife's probably redesigning a dining room. She doesn't even see you." Melissa's hand clenched the banister. Daniel said nothing. Silence. Then, "We made a mistake." Lila's voice dropped. "One mistake? or the beginning of something real? Melissa's breath caught. She waited. She wanted to hear him deny it, to say no, but all he said was, "You should go." And still, he didn't fire her. Melissa made her move the next morning. She followed Lila's car after she left. Lila didn't go to class. She drove across town to an apartment building Melissa didn't recognize. Melissa watched from her car. 10 minutes later, a woman came out to greet Lila. Tall, red-haired, sharp cheekbones. She hugged her like an old friend. Melissa snapped a photo. She didn't know the woman's name, but she'd seen that face somewhere before. She called her cousin, a lawyer, who ran it through a private database. The name came back. Veronica Slate. Melissa's blood went cold. She confronted Daniel that night. With the photo, with the receipts, with the truth. "You were set up," she spat. "You brought a weapon into our home." Daniel broke. He confessed. He cried. He begged. "I didn't know," he said. "It was just one kiss. I swear, I didn't know she was connected to Veronica." Melissa wasn't moved. "You kept her here. You let her stay. You let her crawl inside this family and poison it." He had no answer. Melissa didn't scream. She didn't throw things. She went strategic. First, she told Lila to leave. Permanently. When Lila showed up the next day to say goodbye to the kids, Melissa was waiting. "You will disappear, or I will bury you." Lila laughed. "You can't prove anything." Melissa smiled. She handed Lila a manila envelope. Inside were transcripts, phone records, GPS logs, even a copy of her fake ID application. Her cousin had made sure everything was airtight. "You have 30 seconds to leave. After that, this goes to the police and to your parents." Lila turned pale. She left. But Melissa wasn't done. She reached out to Veronica next. From a burner phone, sent her a single message. "I know who you are. You ever come near my family again, I will end you. And unlike you, I don't need to hide behind babysitters." There was no reply. But the silence was answer enough. Daniel tried to fix things. Therapy, gifts, apologies. Melissa stayed. For the kids. But something had broken. Trust didn't just crack, it shattered. And in the dark, quiet hours after bedtime, she'd sometimes sit at the kitchen table and whisper to herself, "The babysitter didn't ruin us. You let her in." And Daniel, he never argued again.